Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Friday morning. Thanks for joining us and starting your weekend with us here at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We appreciate you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. We want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse here in Starkville or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. It'd be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Swan Lake.
Would be a little weird.
Wherever you are, that used to be a nickname for a certain message board, but that's for another day. Wherever you are in our great state, you can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee anywhere you want. It's only a click away. It's at strangebrewcoffeehouse.com.
Yeah, better not.
Yeah, that's just not today.
Let's just refer to the ballet.
Yes. I'm not a ballet. I'm not a ballet-sman. So.
Natty is now. Natty did ballet this year.
Really? Okay, that's cool.
Really enjoyed it.
Yeah. Mississippi Beef Council wants to remind you that beef, it is what's for dinner. It was what's for lunch today. I had some tacos for lunch. They were really good. And that's the thing about beef. It's such a versatile ingredient. It cooks quickly. If you're trying to find weeknight meals or easy meals, beef being the star of the show only makes things better for you because everybody's going to be happy eating beef, and it's easy for mom or dad, whoever's cooking, to get the job done quickly and make a great, nutritious, delicious meal. If you're looking for recipes, they're at msbeef.org. Beef, it's what's for dinner. Thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you are looking for. Whatever you're looking for, Mississippi State, whatever logos you need to get, the M over S, the state script, the interlocking, they're all right there at College Corner for you to find. Only a couple of months away from the start of the college football season. Started off right in a brand new polo, new baseball cap, new t-shirt, whatever it is from our friends at College Corner. Ridgeland by Fleet Feet, Flowed by the Half Shell, or you can shop online, collegecornerstore.com. Restaurant Tyler is Starkville's flagship restaurant for lunch, dinner, or Sunday brunch. The best meal in town is always going to be at Restaurant Tyler. If you're going to be enjoying lunch in the Starkville area, I can't give Restaurant Tyler a higher recommendation. They have the best blue plate in town. If you are a blue plate person, if you want that meat and veggies and cornbread for lunch, the best place to go is always going to be Restaurant Tyler. Robbie and I are usually in there, and we're happy to tell you that you should be too. If you want to enjoy a fantastic lunch today, the place to go is Restaurant Tyler. Priority One Bank has 16 locations to serve you throughout Central Mississippi. Let PriorityOneBank.com. Sorry. I don't know if we're laughing at the same thing, but did you see Cole Kublik's tweet? That's what I'm laughing at.
No, I was laughing at the question of gun to my head.
Oh, yeah. We've started a trend. I love it. They get better as you go through that thread, too. Anyway. Priority One Bank, 16 locations to serve you throughout Central Mississippi. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide to show you not only how they're going to help you invest and manage your money, but how they're going to help you prepare for the future. Now more than ever, when you have questions about your money, you need answers. You need them on your schedule. You don't want to have to wait around. You want to talk to a bank that has a relationship with you the same way they do with your money. You need to talk to our friends at Priority One Bank. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. Cole Kublik did he asked Gronk to make him into a garbage pail kid, and it's really funny.
Oh, that's excellent.
It's really funny. So I talked about this yesterday on the air. I'm going to share my screen, I guess, here for a second. I mean, maybe I shouldn't because it's a DM, but I asked Gronk, full story. JT Mitchell from Super Talk News was named as one of the top 40 under 40 here in the state of Mississippi by, I'm not sure the organization that does it, but congratulations to him. So I texted him, like, man, those AI pictures of you winning an award are great. Like, that was fantastic. So, you know, we're just joking around. So I was like, let me see if I can make this work. So I asked Gronk to make a picture of me And I gave it a picture of me. It was the picture from last week at the aquarium. And I was like, "Can you take this picture of me and make a picture of me winning an award?" And it said, "Yeah, sure. Just give us a second." And
With the shirt on,
that,
with
well, it, you know, I mean, the yellow shirt on.
the stingray shirt or whatever it was.
Not that stingray, an actual stingray. And so it was like, yeah. And so it starts to pop up, and it made me a picture. And not only did I not have a beard, I was black.
That's excellent.
Just like, and I said something. I was like, "Grok, this does not look like me. Can you do another one?" And then it was like, "You have used your image up for the day." I was like, "Well, then never mind. Thanks for nothing, Grok."
Grok sees no color.
Yeah, I guess not, you know.
Or maybe you're just that dark.
That picture, I mean, I had a good tan going, but geez, man, like, not that much. So, all right, let's jump into some sports a little later in the show. Opponent preview time. We got to catch up. We'll be caught up when we get to this one with the Georgia Bulldogs. Our friend Jordan Hill from Dogs 24/7 will join us. But we start back in the transfer portal. Mississippi State, I think this is 3 weeks in a row a commitment has kind of come out of nowhere on a Wednesday or a Thursday for Mississippi State. Middle of the week commitments. Today it's South Carolina pitcher Brendan Sweeney. He's a guy that if we're just looking at the numbers, Robbie, you're gonna say, you know, why? But when you look at the measurables, a 6'6" right-hander who can throw in the mid-90s, maybe it makes a little bit more sense. But this is a guy that, you know, I don't know that any of us had him on the radar, but I have to assume, being a South Carolina kid, that Parker at some point must have had some sort of hand in his recruiting at some point. What do we know about this guy, and what kind of a role can he play for Mississippi State next year?
Yeah, I do wonder if Parker went after. I mean, I imagine he did. He was a junior college guy. He's from Oklahoma. That's where originally he plays baseball in high school in Oklahoma, played junior college baseball at Oklahoma, Eastern Oklahoma, I believe. And then he transferred to Blinn Community College in Texas. And there he was a starter for them. Pretty good numbers. I think when people look at the first thing you look at, and it's kind of a natural reaction from a baseball fan to go look at a stats page, and immediately the first thing you see is that ERA. And I think especially now in today's game, that the ERA and really the prominence of it is kind of diminished a little bit, for a number of reasons. And I think what you got to look at are a few different things. And the first thing for me when I'm looking at these South Carolina guys is Tyler Pitzer the other day committed. We talked about him. Give up 10 runs or whatever it was in one game. So obviously that ERA is going to be inflated. You got to look at innings pitched. You got to look at what they did in games. And where those numbers are coming from. He's given up four or five runs every time he's out there. That's one thing. But also, I don't think that always tells the story. South Carolina's pitching staff was just bad altogether. That doesn't mean that they weren't talented. That doesn't mean that there can't be something that comes from this kid because he does have really good stuff. And I'm not like all in on trust the coaches thing, but Justin Parker is one of the best in the country in developing players and taking really talented players and turning them into really productive pitchers. We've seen that. In 2 years, he's done that. And this year, he did it. Every single guy that he trots out there seems to be better after he gets his hands on them than they were when he took over. So this guy is an earned run average over 8. But I remember him specifically against Mississippi State when he came into the ball game. They wanted to extend him a little bit. They really wanted to get that Friday night win. And he came in the game in the sixth or seventh inning, and he pitched three perfect innings. He struck out four batters, and State just could not touch him. They couldn't barrel him up. They couldn't get a hit off of him. They couldn't even get on base. So I think this is intriguing. And another thing, he's building an entire pitching staff. We're not saying this guy's going to be his Friday night starter or his closer. This is a guy that's 6'6". He's got a tremendous build, 6'6", over 200 pounds. He's throwing his fastball's anywhere from 94 to 97. It's got sink in it, which is something that's I consider a luxury in a pitcher right now. If you can pitch that fastball with sink, and like Ben Davis, it's in the upper 90s, and it's got sink, and you're not able to barrel it up as much. That to me is like a little bit of a cheat code. So having another one of those guys doesn't hurt. And I have no idea if he's going to get drafted or what. He is eligible, obviously, being a junior. But if you do get him on campus, it's just another talented guy. Whether or not he has the production at this point, it's a talented guy that Justin Parker has at his disposal. And you have to ask yourself, would you rather have that? Or would you rather have a guy that's throwing 88, 89 that had really good numbers at a lower level school? I guess it just depends on what you want. But for me, I'm taking talent all day when I know I have a pitching coach that has shown the ability to take players and mold them into really good pitchers that may have not been that before he had got a hold of them. And we're talking Tyson Hardin. We're talking Gerangelo Sanger was not great as a freshman. Yeah. Cal Steven was not great at Purdue. Tyler Davis, Tyson Hardin. Pico Khan, I think, got better. I think if you look at some of the guys that, you know, even this year, they got better as the year went on this season that were first-year pitchers or players that helped you. Stone Simmons, I think they formed him into a guy that you could rely on late in games. Nate Williams coming off of Tommy John surgery. He inherited three or four guys that had come off injury that had not pitched that he made, I think, competitive pitchers. Dane Burns had not pitched for over a year. Ryan McPherson hadn't pitched in over a year. I trust Justin Parker. He sees something with this kid. I think that if you get him to campus, he has a chance to be really good.
And speaking of seeing something, a guy you were high on in the offseason didn't have much of an impact, but Duke Stone agrees that he's going to come back to Mississippi State, entered the portal, tested the waters, the temperature of the waters, and found out that he would rather, you know, be on the 2026 roster than be in the transfer portal. Thank you. But that being said, that's another possibility. And you hit on a really good point, and that's – I think we see this a lot with the people when we're talking about the lineup as well. Not everybody's going to hit 350 with 15 home runs, right? Somebody's going to – you know, the bottom of your order is going to hit 260, 270. So if you get a guy who's in there, you know, who's a 270 hitter, but he's solid defensively and he doesn't strike out a lot, that's a great pickup for the bottom of your order because you can't get 1 through 9 – all Americans. And the same with, you know, you got to have guys who you can bring in situations from time to time, and a big overpowering right-hander who keeps the ball down. I mean, I'm with you on that. I would almost always rather err on the side of big talent than, you know, yeah, this guy had great numbers at a smaller school, but he throws, you know, 91. I'd rather take a chance on a guy who can throw 96, 97 and trust in my ability to develop him.
And Duke Stone's like that too.
Yeah.
You know, Duke was pitching a lot of innings in the fall whenever, you know, like you go back to the fall and they played, it was Arkansas State. They played in that scrimmage. He pitched in that scrimmage. The couple of scrimmages that I was able to see in the fall, he was out there, and I thought that he was going to play a little more prominent role.
Yeah.
Obviously really talented, potential to have a big arm. Anytime you have a guy that is a freshman that did not pitch very much in his first year, and he is playing in the Cape in this first summer,
yeah,
that tells you what kind of pitcher you got. This is almost like picking up a pitcher out of the transfer portal to me. Justin Parker and Brian O'Connor able to convince him to come back. That's almost like picking up a transfer portal pitcher. There's some question marks here on roles that are going to play out. Who's going to be your weekend starters? Who's going to be your closers? Are there enough lefties? I get all that. But the sheer talent that they're amassing on this roster is quite possibly the deepest staff from a talent perspective they've ever had. And I don't say that lightly. I promise I don't say that lightly. But We heard about the unicorns a few years ago.
I
know, don't ban me. This is a staff full of unicorns.
Let me mute you real quick.
Even the lefties are throwing mid-90s. You got big-time stuff from Charlie Foster. Dane Burns, I think I'm really high on him. I think he can explode with Parker. You look at all those lefties, Thomas Valinkas, William Kirk. I'm really excited about him too. Then you move over to the right-handers and the guys that you got there, Ryan McPherson, who just got added to the trials for Team USA, the collegiate team, which is the best baseball players in the country. Ace Reese is on that. Thomas Valinkas is on that. Two of your pitchers are on that staff, and they're sophomores. This is, to me, the deepest, maybe the most talented pitching staff that Mississippi State has amassed, at least in some time that I can remember. Now it's about finding roles. It's still got to shape out. You're going to have some guys that enter the draft. You know, I'm not expecting Landon Harmon or Jack Beyer to come to school. There'll be some guys that'll go pro. Who knows what happens with Evan Sieri and guys like that. But that's why I like Justin Parker stacking them here. He's stacking arms. He's going to see after the draft where it all falls. And then you come in for the fall and let the chips fall where they may. And you've the floor of this pitching staff has raised considerably. So if you do lose some guys to the draft or you do lose some guys that get cut, it's going to be tough not to throw someone. It's going to be tough to throw someone out there and them not be a really talented pitcher. So I really like what they're doing. There weren't enough arms this year. Yeah. They didn't have enough guys this year that you felt like they could throw out there that could go get outs in the SEC. You're now amassing a group that I feel like, you know, whoever they bring out of the bullpen, they can get you outs. And look who wins national championships every year. It's the teams when they get to Omaha that are pitching the best. Because in that park, you get hot like Murray State, you get to that park and that wind's blowing the way that it does, just gobbles up fly balls out there. It's about who's pitching. We saw complete games this year, no hitters. We saw, you know, 1-0 win in the national championship series. You better be able to pitch in college baseball to win games. And that's how this team's being built. It's being built as a team that I think is going to be really well-rounded.
And you talk about adding talent, Mississippi State with a big visitor on campus that we know of this weekend in Rice transfer, Davion Hixon, correct?
Yes. That's what I was told a couple of weeks ago, supposed to be here this weekend. We'll see how that goes. Transfer portal intel right now is just – it's really, you know, up in the air because there's just – you're talking about a new staff coming in. They're not getting a lot of information out. You're having to follow things the best that you can. And I feel like our board does it as well as anybody. We have some – I mean this in the nicest way possible. We have some absolute psychopaths on our board. Absolute psychopaths. And yes. I love it. I absolutely love it. But these people are they're seeing who these players are following, who the team account's following. I don't have time to do that all day, but there's plenty of people on our board that do. So if you want to
– I mean, maybe if you cut a lunch out, you could do it.
You know, what'd you say?
If you cut a lunch out, you could do it.
No, I told you yesterday, I can multitask. Right. I can eat and I can type at the same time. And at times, I have a two-month-old in my arms too. So, I mean, you never know.
You're one of the best fathers I know. Not the best, but one of.
So, but Davion Hixon, a lot of people remember him from earlier this year. He started against Mississippi State when State played Rice.
Mm-hmm.
And it's big-time stuff. It's mid to high 90s fastball, a lethal breaking ball. And I thought he kind of put some things together this year. He was scuffling a little bit early. You know, he's a Florida State guy. He transferred from Florida State to Rice. And his career's kind of been up and down. But by the end of the year, he was pitching really well. He's a draft risk, obviously. But another one, you get to campus, and immediately that's a really talented arm. I don't know if he'll make it or not. But you'd rather get him committed than not. And that's what State's going to try to do this weekend.
Any other visitors that you know of coming in this weekend or have been rumored to show up?
I'll be honest with you. I just have no idea.
Yeah.
I mean, I really don't. They're coming in, it seems like, every day. And it's just kind of one of those deals where you just sit around at this point and you wait for some stuff to pop. I mean, yeah. you get enough intel on some guys that you feel like it's coming. We knew that Kevin Malewski was coming. We knew that most of those Virginia guys were coming. But then you have a guy like Brennan Sweeney that pops up. You know, obviously you're in the game for Dylan Loy, who's at Tennessee. I feel like State is going to have a chance to land him, but he's got some big heavy hitters coming after him as well. Maddox Salata, the guy from Cal State Fullerton, I think is a player to watch as well in the middle infield. So it's there's only a few pieces left. I mean, you really only need. I really think they need to go get another lefty. If Dylan Loy wants to come, you're not turning him down. And then you need another middle infielder, maybe another catcher, just as a backup catcher. But you're just about set with your roster. And then from there, you wait on the draft and see who makes it through, who comes to school and all that, and you start setting everything up.
We shall see. I won't be surprised if on our Monday show we are talking about a new commitment to Mississippi State baseball. All right, let's move into the rest of the show. That's brought to you by our friends over at Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District, the place to find the smoked Southern soul food that you're looking for. And the Older Brother, also in the Cotton District, the place to find the fancy sandwich. We love lunch. I love a lunch at the Older Brother. The Older Brother is the place. That's probably the restaurant for me that I most often am like talking myself out of, because if I didn't, I would eat there four times a week. Like if I didn't force myself to rotate every now and then, the Older Brother would get a lot more of my business than it already does. And they still see me plenty often as it is. And you will be the same way too if you live in Starkville. But if you're going to be around town, the place to go is the Cotton District for Two Brothers Smoked Meats and the Older Brother. Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems. That's what they've been doing for 50 years. Don't you know that Borky tried to drop another 50 the other day? I was like, no. That's straight up gimmick.
Stealing my gimmick?
And then he tried to say, we're stealing Houston Nutt's gimmick. And I was like, no. No. No.
Well, at least we know he listens to this podcast.
We knew that. He's just like every other Ole Miss fan.
I did mention the other day, he gave our podcast a shout out a couple of times.
Yeah.
And I did mention to him, we have a lot of Ole Miss listeners.
We do. We do.
And we appreciate those people as well.
We love you guys.
We don't hate you.
No.
We don't despise you. We appreciate you. You come here for the truth,
and
we bring it to you.
We bring it to you. That's right.
We're tired of being lied to.
We hope you will deal with our sponsors, like Advantage Business Systems, who, if you need a new copier, a new printer, any kind of technology at your business, that's the number to call. Because not only are you going to get a great piece of machinery, but you're going to get service after the sale. Not everybody's promising you that. Anybody can sell it to you. Who's going to be there for you afterwards? The difference is Advantage Business Systems. 601-362-9192 or visit them online. ABMS.com. Advantage Business. ABSMS.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. If you're in Starkville and you need Mississippi State gear, the place to go is Maroon & Co. If you're not here, well, then the place to go is the website, maroonandco.com. The biggest and best selection of Mississippi State merchandise you're going to find. Everything maroon and white, all of the logos that you want, clothing, stuff for the car, the house, the tailgate, everything Mississippi State at Maroon & Co. And we'll save you a little money with our promo code, THUNDER15. 15% off regular price. Some exclusions do apply. You can use it in-store or online. Next time you're in Starkville, before you go to the game, make sure you go to Maroon & Co. Robbie Falk, our good friends up at Scruggs Farm Lawn & Garden are awaiting you now. They say they're going to take care of you. You say you need a new grill, Robbie, they got you taken care of. You need a new edger, they got you taken care of. And I'll just go ahead and tell you, while you're up there, they're going to talk you into probably a new John Deere mower. So you just need to be prepared for that.
It might be dangerous to go. I might lose every cent I have in the bank.
Just take Big Daddy up there with you. Get him. You know, he'll take care of it.
No, my dad's one of those people that he just pays people to do all of this lawn work.
Oh, okay.
That's he doesn't want to mess with it. And I'm just not that way. I
No, I
used to
get
be
it.
that way because I learned from him. And then
Yeah.
I realized,
Well,
this is
you take property.
I don't feel like I own this property. This is my land.
Yeah.
So I had to start mowing my grass myself. So now I have to consider more trips to Scruggs to go find something that can appease me.
Yeah.
I just put out some fertilizer today. I might have to go to Scruggs to
You
get
need
some
to go to
more.
Scruggs. Well, I tell you
Yep.
what, when you want to go, I'll go with you. I'll help you load up the truck and we'll go up there and say hello to our good friends Jonathan and everybody up there at
We'll
Scruggs
do it.
Farm Lawn and Garden. If you guys are looking for John Deere power on the lawn this weekend, Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden has it. Tractors, commercial mowers, Gators, everything John Deere. Great deal, 0% financing on many of their items. Those deals run out on July 2nd, so don't let it get away from you. Everything you're looking for under the sun is at Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden. Earlier this week, I talked to Jordan Hill from Dogs 24/7 about the Georgia Bulldogs. That was a very interesting game for Mississippi State a season ago. It might have been their best game of the season, especially on the offensive side of the ball. They were in the game against a top five team on the road for most of it, and it was something to watch, and I wanted to get Jordan's thoughts on that game and what he thinks this other Bulldog team is going to look like this year. Here's Jordan Hill joining us now. As you know, all of our interviews here on Thunder and Lightning are brought to you by our good friends at Alora Modern Wellness. Guys, it's not just about your health. It's about recovery. It's about recuperation. You know, you hit the gym every day. You go out for a run every day. That's great, and you need to be doing that, but you got to take care of your body that's taking care of you. Our friends at Alora Modern Wellness will put together a plan. They've got all sorts of services: heat, cold, relaxation, stretching, everything you need to keep your body running in tip-top condition. Alora Modern Wellness. The website is aloramodernwellness.com. Go ahead, Rob.
And I finally set up a day where Becky can get. She is going tomorrow. As you listen to this, she's going today.
Okay.
She's getting. This is her Mother's Day and
Yeah.
birthday gift to Alora Modern Wellness. I got her the pick five or whatever it is,
Yeah.
and I'm anxiously awaiting her thoughts on this. I'm upset that I'm not doing it.
Yeah.
But now I've set a precedent. So if she likes it, I can ask for this
Yeah.
for my birthday.
There you
I'm
go.
really excited to hear the results.
I mean, the gift of your own health is a good gift to give. So let's go now to our interview with Jordan Hill. The Georgia Bulldogs will come to Mississippi State in the month of November. It's almost a rivalry at this point between these two squads. They've met so much over the last 5 or 6 years. Our friend Jordan Hill has become a regular guest with us as a result of that over from Dogs 24/7. I want to look back at last year's game. That was an interesting game between Mississippi State and Georgia. State was in the game. State offensively was really good in that game, and defensively, if they could have just gotten another stop, that could have been a really interesting, final few minutes there in Athens. When you think back to that game, was Georgia just off that day, or did Mississippi State elevate its play when you really think about it?
I think it's kind of a combination of both things. And if you look at that game, I don't remember the score exactly, but I think
Forty-one, 31.
Georgia gets up maybe three touchdowns at a certain point. I think they kind of got caught sleeping a little bit. And Michael Van Buren really had a big game, and Georgia's secondary, which on the whole, I don't think it lived up to expectations last season. They took advantage. Mississippi State was able to make some plays, and it got to a point late in that game where you're like, if Mississippi State could get an onside kick, or like you said, get a stop, we might have something. And if I'm remembering right, I think that was the week before Georgia was going to Texas. So I kind of think
Sounds
during
right.
that game, Georgia kind of got a little comfortable. And to Mississippi State's credit, they took advantage, and it wound up being more of a shootout than I think anybody expected in that game.
It's kind of interesting. State's last two trips to Athens have been that way. They played each other in the COVID year, and that was a game where State only had, I think, 45 guys dressed out, and that game was tight as well. Last trip to Starkville for Georgia was memorable for two reasons. One, Georgia won pretty easily, but two, the amount of Georgia fans in Davis-Wade Stadium that day is something we still kind of talk about. This Georgia team, when I look at them on paper, I feel like I'm kind of betting on their reputation at this point, right? It's Georgia. I know they recruit in the top three every year. Kirby Smart is a great coach. So I know they have a lot of talent, but at the same time, there's not those big, huge names that just stand out to me. Am I onto something here where I'm just saying, well, it's Georgia. I just know they're going to be good.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the biggest thing. You go into this year, and I would say this year more than most, there's not really that one or two guys that you're like, that's a first round lock. And typically that comes on defense. I mean, I look at the year prior, Malachi Starks, everyone felt comfortable with him being a first round pick. He winds up being a first round pick. Mykel Williams was a very popular guy going into last year, and he becomes a first round pick. I don't know that Jalen Walker was necessarily a lock going into last year because he had such a good year and winds up going pro. This year, there's not quite that many of those guys. There's a couple guys I think have a chance to be first round picks. Probably Dalen Everett, the cornerback, is probably the best positioned. But at the same time, to what you're saying, Brian, I mean, I think that it's a situation where there's some guys that have to step up that aren't quite as proven and definitely don't have that much buzz, but are still, four stars, former five stars, guys that Georgia targeted in recruiting and have been a part of the program and are now expected to step up. And I think the thing that when you look at this roster on the whole, when I talk about this team, I say a lot of inexperienced but talented, young but talented, guys that have to step up and play bigger roles. And it's a situation where, it almost feels like you're kind of cheating when you just kind of ride in 10, 11, I don't know about 12 regular season wins, but double digit wins. But that's just sort of where Georgia is right now. And this will be a good litmus test for how we see the program going forward, just what they do in 2025, because there's a lot of talent, but a lot of those guys have bigger roles than they've ever had as Bulldogs.
And of course, what makes Georgia so interesting is I'm sure you use this website, Our Lads. It's a great resource for depth charts. They have their guys, and then the orange guys on there are your transfers. And nobody has less orange on their depth chart than Georgia does. I mean, when you look at their two deep, there's only four or five guys on there right now. I feel like, when you recruit the way Georgia does, that's not a huge issue. But people a few years ago were asking, hey, is what Ole Miss doing sustainable? So I guess my question to you is what Georgia's doing sustainable? If they continue to recruit high-end talent, I guess it is, but is there ever going to be a time where they have to take a deeper foray into the portal?
I think that is not what they want to do. I mean, I think the way they've done it the last few years, and personally, just as someone who's followed college football, I think this makes the most sense when you can recruit at Georgia's level, which I know not everybody can do. But Georgia's done a good job these last few years of, hey, we're going to recruit high school really hard. And then when we're going into an off season, say we're getting ready for 2025, we're going to look at maybe two or three positions where we feel like we need some help. And that's what we're going to go do and go target in the portal. They did that this off season. The two biggest positions that they felt were needs, wide receiver and defensive back. And they go get Noah Thomas from Texas A&M. They go get Zachariah Branch from USC. And then defensive back, I feel like, was kind of a little bit more of a shotgun approach of let's just try to get three guys and see what we can get between them. And Jaden Harris from Miami, Adrian Maddox from UAB, and Zion Branch, Zachariah's brother, also from USC. They are playing from a position where they know they can count on that high school recruiting and to generate and to develop that talent once it gets to Georgia, and then to kind of pick their spots when it comes to the portal. Again, not everybody has that luxury. Not everybody can count on getting at least a top five class every year, but I do think that's the preference for Kirby Smart and company, and I don't necessarily see that changing. I think they really want to emphasize high school recruiting more often than not.
Not a lot of players get dumped into the fire more than Gunnar Stockton did at the end of last season. Gets thrown in the SEC championship game. His first start is a college football playoff game. I thought he looked like a freshman out there at times, but you can see the talent level for him. What does year one of him as a starter look like for Georgia?
I think it's going to determine how far this team goes. And I've said this a lot this summer. Georgia's made it easy for me, Brian. Sometimes we're talking about storylines going into a season. I mean, it doesn't get much simpler than how good does the quarterback play? And obviously, he's got pieces around him that are going to help determine that. But I think they've done a very good job of surrounding him with talent. I mentioned Zachariah Branch, as well as Noah Thomas. They bring back Colby Young, they bring back Dylan Bell, they've got Nate Frazier coming back at running back, and they go get Josh McCray from Illinois. I think that the onus is on Gunner to take advantage, and I'm not someone who thinks he's going to come out here and be like a first-team All-SEC quarterback, but I think he has the pieces around him to not force things. I kind of compare it to like 2021 Stetson Bennett, and I'm not saying their skill sets are comparable, but just go out there, don't make mistakes, don't turn the ball over, take advantage of what you got around you. I think these offensive skill players as a whole, probably a little bit more talented than that 2021 team, but that this defense will not be that 21 defense. But you don't have to be the hero. You don't have to go out there and throw for 5,000 yards and everything's got to live and die with you. Be smart and take advantage of the players around you. If he does that consistently, I think Georgia's in a great spot to be one of the top teams in the SEC and by proxy, be headed to the playoff again.
I always think of Georgia as running back you. I mean, ever since I was a kid, they've always had that elite guy. And you mentioned the transfer from Illinois, McCray. Is that going to be the lead dog in that backfield this year, or is it going to be one of these other talented kids that doesn't have a lot of experience, like you were just talking about, but the profile is there?
I think it's going to be Nate Frazier, who's a rising sophomore, but I think it will be him and McCray. And I think you've got Nate Frazier as sort of that lightning back, a little bit faster, and Josh McCray as the thunder, a guy that's just bowling over people. His
Thunder and
highlights,
lightning. What a great name for a podcast that would be.
man, someone write that down. Josh McCray is just a guy I would encourage folks who just like watching running backs, go watch his highlights from Illinois. I mean, had a great game against South Carolina in the Cheez-It Bowl last year. Experienced guy from Enterprise, Alabama. And Georgia's in a spot now where I think they feel really good about running back, where you got those two guys. You've got Dwight Phillips Jr., you got Chauncey Bowens. They've got probably six or seven scholarship running backs. Not all of them proven, but guys that they can count on. And they kind of got banged up early at the running back position last year and felt like they just never really could run the ball the way they wanted to. Brian, you mentioned how good Georgia is running the ball. They finished 15th in the SEC in rushing yards per game last year. I mean,
Never
we
guessed
just,
that in a million years.
no. I mean, they just struggled tremendously to run the ball. And I think they've made it an onus to try to improve and try to add some talent to that room this offseason. They did that getting McCray, and I'd be remiss not to mention Bo Walker, a true freshman they got from Cedar Grove, Georgia. And the name alone, an SEC running back named Bo Walker,
That's crazy.
that's something, but for real, he
Well, you
backed it
created
up.
in the lab. What's
That's
going on
like
here?
a college football creative player on the video
Yeah.
game, but he backed it up in the spring, and I think Bo Walker will play quite a bit as well.
All right, you said this defense doesn't look like that 21 defense. What does it look like when we get to this point in the season?
I think it's going to be a really good defense. I think it's one that the thing I always point to with these defenses is how good does the defensive line play? Because when you look at 21 and 22, if I'm not mistaken, I think the 21 defense led the country in rushing defense, and then the 22 defense was like third in the nation. And that's something that, I think they need some guys to step up on the defensive line. I don't think they have a Jalen Carter or a Jordan Davis, a guy that's just, looks like a man amongst boys. But they've got guys that I think can make plays and can play at an all-SEC caliber. And the top guy I would say is Christian Miller, who I think will be that defensive tackle, a guy that played really well last year, a guy that got hurt toward the end of the regular season, missed a little bit of time. Comes back for the Sugar Bowl and has five tackles with a bad shoulder and winds up having surgery after the season. He's a guy I think people should keep an eye on, but I really like this defense on the whole. It's no different than any other year. They need some guys to step up. I'd point to defensive line. They need edge rusher, outside linebacker. They got a guy, Elo Madozi from Army, counting on him to step up as a starter there. And then the other safety spot opposite of KJ Bolden. If they can get somebody to settle in there and to really show that he's ready to fill that role, I do think this can be one of the best defenses in the SEC once again. And I think that Kirby and his staff are confident in this group, but a few of those battles have to decide themselves once we get into fall camp.
We're talking about Georgia. They're the defending SEC champions. Mississippi State was 2-10 a season ago. So it's difficult to say trap game with a straight face when we're talking about these two teams. But this game is right between the world's largest outdoor cocktail party and Georgia bringing Texas into Athens the next week after they play Mississippi State. Is there just a whiff of trap game to this for you?
There's a little bit, but I honestly think the way the game played out in 2024 is probably a detriment to Mississippi State's chances in 2025. Because I can go ahead and tell you, Brian, that Kirby Smart will be talking to the players and say, "Do y'all remember, what happened last year?" I don't remember how many yards Mississippi State threw for,
It
but
was over 400, I think.
I mean, they torched that secondary, and I think that in addition to having to go on the road and that piece of it, I think that it's not going to be a situation where they're kind of going through the motions. I think that Georgia understands that they can't get caught, sleeping against a Jeff Lebby offense. And, I think you would know much better than me, but I think a lot of fans on the Mississippi State side are wanting to see some signs of progress in year two. And I think Georgia will understand that Mississippi State is going to want have something to prove going into that game. And they're going to be paying attention. They don't want to get caught sleeping that late in the season.
It was 306 for State. I forgot Beck threw for 459 in that game. It was the difference maker. And I think for State fans, Jordan, if they just had a repeat performance of what happened in Athens last year, this year, I think State fans would be like, all right, I take it. I think this year for State is so much about just being more competitive. And that game was probably the most competitive State was with any SEC opponent all season long, which is just crazy to think about when you're talking about the SEC champions. One last question for you with Georgia this season. I have them. Where do I have Georgia? I have them 11-1. Who do I have them losing? I have them losing to Texas. And I had that last year, and I think I was. They lost to Texas, right? So,
No,
oh, that's
two
right. They
and
beat
two, two and
Texas.
oh.
Who did they? I forget. I had it all mixed up last year. But when you look at Georgia this season, they back-to-back national championships, that creates a hunger to continue to win national championships. We're not talking about a hot seat or anything like that, but what is Kirby Smart expected to do this year?
I think at the minimum, get back to the playoff. And I think for most Georgia fans, they would say to win at least one playoff game. Now, obviously, the goal for many is to go and win the national title. But I think if there's a repeat performance where they go to the playoff and they lose like they did with the Sugar Bowl, that there would be fans disappointed. And this is just a very fun slate when you look at the regular season. I've got Georgia 11-1, and to me, I keep going back and forth between a home game against Alabama and then the home game against Texas. The one thing that really benefits Georgia this year with some of the questions we have, and again, Gunnar Stockton getting ready for his first season as a starter, their toughest games are going to be at home this year as opposed to last year when they had to go to Tuscaloosa, they had to go to Oxford, they had to go to Austin. So how do they take advantage of those home games? And, fascinated with Alabama, where Georgia just continually struggles to beat the Crimson Tide, and this is your best chance, maybe ever, getting them at home and seeing if you can take advantage of that. And then you got Texas, where I picked Texas both times that Georgia played them last year, and Georgia made me look silly. But you look at that Texas team, I think a lot of folks are looking at Georgia and Texas as the two top contenders in the SEC. Can Georgia take advantage of home field? How well is Arch Manning playing at that point? I think Georgia splits between those two games. I think right now I'm picking Georgia to lose to Alabama just because we've seen it over and over again. But that Texas game will be no walk in the park either.
I'm sure no Georgia fans gave you any grief about those picks either.
Well, really, by the time we got the SEC title game, they were thrilled that I picked. I was wrong the first time. So, yeah,
Yeah.
thank you. Thank you
There you
for
go.
doing
It's
that.
all about the science. We're big on that here on this podcast. Jordan Hill, Dogs 24/7, man. Appreciate you. We'll talk to you again in November, I guess. I'll talk to you in a few weeks, though, in SEC Media Days.
Oh, yeah. Can't wait.
This was the game to me, Robbie, that last year, when we talked about State in the preseason, we talked about losing shootouts, right? Where it was just be like, they just didn't have enough there at the end. This was that game. 41-31, you were in the game. Van Buren was throwing bombs all over the field. You just couldn't stop Carson Beck. He threw for 450 yards in this one. Am I wrong in saying that, let's say State's 5-7, 4-8 this year, right? But these games look like this. Are we willing to say, okay, Levy's going in the right direction. Got to make some changes on the defensive staff, but offensively we're in a good spot and we can move forward with Jeff Levy.
Well, yeah, it was what we said last year. Remember last year we were having these conversations. Like, if this team, we know the defense is going to be bad. can they just be really good on offense or really competitive on offense, and they have games where they have shootouts with some of these really good teams, it starts to, make some of those teams a little bit nervous. They start to talk about the future of Mississippi State, a lot like we compared it to Ole Miss in 2020 and how they looked. And had Mississippi State looked like they did against Georgia in a lot of those games last year, I think there would be a completely different idea about this team.
If you played the way you played against Georgia, against Florida, Arkansas, and Texas A&M, you would have beaten them.
And you would have beat Toledo.
Yes. And then we're not having any of these discussions we're having right now.
No. Yeah, I think totally. This is my, like, this should be year one. This should be what we thought last year was going to be. And if it's not, then I'm concerned. I'm treating last year as year zero. I'm telling, coming into this season, I'm saying, that last year's a wash. The roster was really bad. You had to go out and you had to get some competitive players on the defensive and offensive line. Let's see what you got this year. This is year one for Jeff Levy. We need you to do what you were supposed to do last year. And if it doesn't transpire like that, and you have another two or three win season, and you're not competitive like you hope to be in games offensively and defensively, then there's a tremendous level of concern about the future of this program. But if it is what we thought last year could be, you're competing for a bowl game, you're at five wins, you're in the game with Georgia and Tennessee and Texas, you're putting up numbers on offense, I think people can get on board with that. And I've been on several interviews, I'm sure you've been on several this year, where you've talked about, they've asked you the expectations and what's going to be okay. And I don't really look at it as a wins and losses thing with Jeff Levy. It needs to be an optics thing. Like, how does this team look in these games? Because they can go, I think of that Kentucky team, Mark Stoops' second year, and they take State to the limit when State was number one in the country. You didn't look at that Kentucky team the same way you did the year before. And they had around the same record. They weren't very good record wise, but we knew that Kentucky was getting better and they were competitive. That's what you got to see from this team. It could be a team that's got four wins and still be a team that you look at that's getting better, that's going in the right direction. That to me, the biggest thing is like these games need to look a lot like they did against Georgia last year, where the second half was an absolute war for Georgia. Had they turned the ball over or something in the second half, that was going to be a real problem.
Because state was clicking offensively in this
State
game.
was clicking. And
Levy.
that's how we hoped State looked all year.
Levy needs, and I don't know that it'll be the Egg Bowl. That's what it was for Mullen. He just needs one of these. He needs an upset. He needs
It's
one
marquee win.
where you can just point to and go, okay. And you say marquee. I think even just beating Arkansas would be enough. Just to win a conference game again would be enough to get people at least believing in him a little bit more. But we'll see if that happens. The Georgia game last year was very. That was one where I thought, because I think the next week is when they played A&M. And I remember after the Georgia game, we were like, man, maybe they could beat A&M. We had a little, and then they played okay against A&M. They just couldn't get enough stops. And then they played Arkansas, and we were like, all right, they can beat Arkansas. You and I predicted them to win that game. And then it just fell apart from there. So we'll see what happens. All right, next week.
I feel like we talked several times like they're gonna jump on somebody.
And they never
They're
did.
gonna get A&M, they're gonna get Arkansas, they're gonna get Missouri, and
They
they
just
couldn't
couldn't
win
do
them.
it. Oh, well. All right. Opponent preview next week is Arkansas. Speak of the devil. So, all right. So back to normal next week. We've got opponent previews. We got SEC. Did we determine who we were doing for SEC preview next week? We just did
Yeah,
two weeks.
Oklahoma, wasn't it?
Yeah, Oklahoma. Yeah. So let's is. We'll throw the Sooners out there next week. That's going to be one that if Derek Cody's listening, well, at least you won that NBA championship because you're not going to like my prediction for your college team. We'll do that though next week.
Before we leave, this caught my attention on our message board today, and we've known for some time that this was going to be a thing, because at one point, you and I had we know someone that was trying to get a development in this area. The Grant Library that
Yes.
Mississippi State houses, it's a lot of people don't know that. The Mississippi State has a presidential library
Yes.
on campus, which is something that I think people should be really proud of, especially considering the history of Mississippi and how people look at Mississippi. You have basically a Union general guy represented the entire Union Army and a president, all of his presidential items or whatever right there on campus. And I think Mississippi State has a Abraham Lincoln collection or something. Anyway, they are building a physical museum library location right off of campus by the Courtyard Marriott. And right now, you look over there, it's kind of dilapidated. It looks kind of looks like a skate park. It's just a it's not a nice area. But this was brought to our attention on the board. They actually have a article in the Alumnus magazine about this, and somebody posted the proposal online, and the imagery of this thing is amazing.
Pretty cool. Very
I don't
cool.
know if people have seen this. If not, you can come check it on our message board, but it looks like something literally out of Washington, D.C. It's kind of like a rotunda building. It's got a little pond area outside, a nice little walkway. The proposal that they have for this is next level. This would be huge for Starkville and for Mississippi
Yeah.
State.
That's a
So
tourist attraction, yeah.
I just wanted to mention that, like it looks awesome. So
I'm
hopefully all this comes to fruition. I believe it is.
a big fan of the fact that the guy who defeated the Confederacy's presidential library is at Mississippi State. It just works for me, if that makes sense to you.
I think this is something that, a lot of people talk about, they complain about Mississippi State on the university side of things. This is something that is very proactive and cool
Yeah, agreed.
that you should be really proud of, that would bring a lot of people to Starkville. Especially it being what it is here with this physical building that they have. It's not in the Mitchell Library, which nothing against that, but it's just kind of lost. Like it's not a physical location that's just itself. So I think this was really cool.
I agree with you. I agree with you. All right. We'll be back with you guys next week. For Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk, Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.